Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Willie D is up in Winnipeg. Tonight it's the Predators and the Jets. 7 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6. Everything heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When this story broke at the beginning of our show, there's somebody we had in mind we definitely wanted to talk to. That's former Vanderbilt quarterback. He does great work on television, SEC Network. He does it all. Jordan Rodgers, and he's been very honest. And as I said on the show, sometimes brutally honest, and a lot of people don't like to hear that. Well, sometimes you have to say tough. If you don't like the truth, sometimes the truth hurts. And Jordan, I have to believe that I don't know what you thought when you first saw this, but what was your initial reaction?
What's going on, guys? I actually just finished a workout, 2020, trying to get back in shape. So I saw it come across my phone. I got texted by a few different people. I think initially just extremely disappointed, and I think there's a big lack of hope, I think, when I saw that announcement. Now, on one hand, I love Candace Lee. I think this is an incredible opportunity for Candace. I think she's been primed and ready for this position for a while now. I've had nothing but great experiences, and I have nothing but a lot of confidence in Candace Lee. But the problem is, and here's where I just find there's not a lot of hope. The problem is we went out and got somebody that in real world experiences away from sports in the manner that Vanderbilt deals with it, away from a lot of the different problems that come with college sports, a guy that had real world success at building something and scaling something was not able to come in and convince the financial arm, the institution of Vanderbilt that we need to do things differently. And that's where I don't have hope. It's not that I don't believe Candace can be successful. I think Candace has every opportunity. She has everything in herself, her character, her will, her determination, her hard work. The problem is Vanderbilt. And that's always been the problem. The problem is there is a stigma and a stereotype of what spending money looks like. And there's a complacency when it comes to sports. And there will and always has been a problem with the academic side of Vanderbilt not wanting to be overshadowed by sports, and the thought that if we spend money, if we invest money in sports, we're less of an academic institution. I think you look at many programs across this country where that is just simply not true. Both can coexist. Vanderbilt can be unbelievably academic, and they can be unbelievable at sports if they choose to invest. So here's where I'm at now. I'm a little angry, to be honest. I'm disappointed. I would like to take this financial arm or group that is and continues to push back against spending on sports. And I want to take a little road trip with them, guys. I want to take them 322 miles north, 3 hours and 22 minutes, about 215 miles north. Let's go to Kentucky, because the biggest pushback I always get when I talk about Vanderbilt spending is, oh, well, you know, we're never going to be Alabama. You know, we can't have those kind of facilities and compete with them. Okay, great. But you know what? In football and in a lot of other sports, we're going to compete head-to-head with Kentucky when it comes to recruiting. And I have a unique situation where I get to be at every SEC school every year, multiple times, 2, 3, 4 times. I get to walk through every facility. And the difference between Vanderbilt and every facility, from 13 to 1, because we're 14 right now, from 13 to 1, every facility is light years ahead of Vanderbilt. So I would like this financial institution that was pushing back against Malcolm Turner, that will continue to push back against Candace Lee as much as she will fight for this program to expand and take the next step. I want to take them on a road trip to show them what other schools do, because I think there's a very twisted concept of what it looks like to invest into a sports program and facilities in the SEC. And right now we're the only ones that don't get it. And that's the frustrating part.
Okay, that is very interesting. So with that being said, let me ask you this. Here, the Titans ownership group, after Bud Adams passed away, was kind of a rudderless ship. You had the family, nobody knew them, they were just names, nobody ever saw them. There was nothing going on. And the league stepped in and said, hey, we need somebody to take charge here. We need somebody to act like they're in control. Somebody to stand up and say, we're going to do something and run this thing, or we're going to step in and fix this for you. And that's where Amy Adams Strunk stood up, and she did that, and things have been completely different since then. So with that being said, can Greg Sankey and the SEC do anything, Jordan, to kind of shake the Vanderbilt tree over there and say, hey, you're in the SEC, We just doled out $650 million. Everybody got $46 million. Like, we need you to keep up with the times. We need you to make sure you're representing the conference to the level that we think you should for athletics. Do they have the power to do that?
You know, I would love to see that. Honestly, I think that's what needs to happen. Now, I don't know what kind of power, what kind of threat, what kind of legality is behind that. But absolutely, I think Greg Sankey needs to say, hey, look around. We're handing out $46 million. The conference is at its strongest. It's only going to continue to get stronger. But there's one weak link. There really is. I mean, that's the truth. There's one weak link that continues to fall behind the standard. And anytime you look at the SEC, anytime Greg Sankey opens his mouth about the SEC, there's a standard. They do things different in this conference. Everybody does things different except for one program right now. And so, look, I don't know what exactly went on behind closed doors with Malcolm Turner. I had an opportunity to sit down with him his first week on the job, and I simply just said, hey, look, I have a unique experience having been a player during the biggest transition of Vanderbilt, especially the football program, that has ever happened. I have a unique position now where I get to meet with and see every AD, every coach, every single year. And now I get to be on this side of the media and look at Vanderbilt through a different lens. And I said, look, I'd love to be a resource. I'm not going to stick my nose in here. I'm not going to stick a foot in the door. I'd love to be a resource. Just if you ever need to bounce ideas off me, understand a little bit more about what other schools are doing, what goes on in this conference. I'd love to be that resource. I don't think I was ever used as that, and that's okay. I don't need to be. But someone in that facility needs to look at things different, and it might take Greg Sankey going, hey, you got to do something, because that money, other schools do more with that money and you guys don't. So I would love to see that, because Vanderbilt is falling way behind the standard that the SEC portrays on a weekly basis at every other school.
I mean, can he look at them, Jordan, and say, what's our motto? You know, what is the SEC motto?
It just means more.
Just means more. So you can look at them and say, does it just mean more to you? We just gave you a $46 million check.
Well, and you know what I was just thinking too? Here's where it also gets a little scary for Vanderbilt, I think. The college football landscape, the college landscape of amateur athleticism is changing very rapidly. If we're falling this far behind, when seemingly there's a level playing field to some degree, right? I mean, you, especially in the SEC, you get X amount of money. Yeah, we're not making as much money as other programs, but you right now just have to recruit. Other schools, you can't technically pay players. You can't provide different opportunities. Look, a player shows up. They like the coaches. They like the city. Wild by the facilities. They have an opportunity to say, I want to come play football here. Well, in a few years, that's going to be different. There's going to be more opportunities. There's going to be boosters. There's going to be more money. There's going to be more schools that have the ability to attract recruits in a different manner, not just with the brick and mortar, and that is going to be a problem. If Vanderbilt is falling this far behind when all you got to do is commit money like other schools are doing, well, just wait until things really change. And then where's that going to put us? So that's where I think this is a pivotal time for Vanderbilt, because the landscape of college football, especially the landscape of amateurism, is changing very rapidly. And if we're this far behind, where seemingly we have as good of a chance as anybody to recruit and to build something, I think it's going to get really, really different really soon.
We're talking to Jordan Rogers from the SEC Network. And Jordan, this could be a weird question, but follow me on this. I look back at when you were a player and the success that you all had with James Franklin as the head coach, that three-year stretch of going to bowl games, of winning bowl games, and just how much success the football team had. In some ways, based upon what we've talked about with how Vanderbilt thinks and with money towards athletics and all of that, did it hurt in some ways? Because then they look at it as, well, hey, I mean, this is what we've been doing, and James Franklin had success. Why can't we continue to do this?
Totally. Yeah, I think it did. And really, if you look back at the why, yeah, we had some good players, for sure. They were all recruited, you know, by Bobby Johnson, not by facilities, not by anything. You know, we were all overlooked in one way or another. The biggest difference was James Franklin. And the biggest difference was he came in and he demanded that things were done differently. And he had a leverage and he had power because of little success that we had, because of the charisma, the authority, the person that he was able to demand more. We haven't had that. We haven't had that type of person that says, no, I get how you've done it. Here's how we're going to do it. And if you're not going to do it that way, I'm going to leave. And he did leave. And he left because it was a constant battle. I think in a way that hurts, that there was some success where, you know, we did things a little differently. You know, in 2012, once my senior year came around, we built an indoor facility after that year. So we started to do things a little differently. But there's still pushback. And James Franklin left because he was tired of the pushback. And he was tired of fighting for things that every other school was able to do. So, again, I go back to that. Yes, I think there's a great complacency around Vanderbilt. But again, I was just there in Nashville. You know, I still have a business in Nashville, still have a home there, so I'm there frequently. I was just driving around campus, and I'm like, every building is getting fixed right now. I mean, there is hundreds of millions of construction going on that campus, which is great. That campus needed it. The dorms needed it. Rebuilding, some of the academic buildings need rebuilding, but the only place that things not happening is over in the athletics. Basketball, football, baseball, they're all in the same building. Where's the money into that? So I just think there's a great imbalance, and I think there's a great complacency in just being okay. And at some point, that's not going to match the SEC. And at some point, Vanderbilt's going to be the one that's going to be the odd man out.
That's the thing that I will never understand, because, you know, I grew up in this town. I was here before the Titans, before the Preds. And so I spent a lot of my days on that campus going to football games, basketball games, baseball games. And, you know, that stadium's older than I am, Jordan. I mean, well, it's older than both of us. It hasn't had any work done to it. And I can't wrap my head around why they think that's okay, considering the millions of dollars that go into the SEC, the fact that there is a damn network that you work for that covers the conference, and you guys come in, you do games at Vanderbilt Stadium, and quite frankly, it's a dump.
Yeah, and you know what's even worse? I just, again, to illustrate that Vanderbilt does things differently, every year we do 2 hours of spring game coverage for every school. And really, the spring games, it's a marketing opportunity, right? We run some fun stories on players. We get on campus, you know, the week of, and we film facilities, and we talk. It's pretty much a marketing opportunity for every school, which is great. Vanderbilt's the only school that refuses to do an actual game, so they're the only school in the SEC that only gets an hour of coverage because we can't cover a practice for 2 hours. And I always get, you know, people always like to tweet at me and go, oh, well, you know, the SEC doesn't like Vanderbilt. You only give us an hour. No. If you guys would choose to have a game, we do an hour of fun content. We do an hour of the shell of a quote-unquote game, and Vanderbilt would have 2 hours of marketing opportunity just like every other school, but they choose to do things differently, and it hurts the program. But again, you don't need to look at the Texas A&Ms. You don't need to look at the Alabamas because they're spending $300, $400, $500 million every year, and it seems to not matter. That's okay. I'm not asking for that. But go look at Missouri, because Missouri just redid their entire football facility for just over $100 million. Which in the grand scheme of things, I know it sounds crazy, and I know what I'm going to say sounds crazy. That's nothing in the grand scheme of what colleges spend on facilities, and Missouri's facilities are unbelievable. Now, would anybody choose to live in Como over Nashville? Probably not. You know, does Missouri have a ton more success and tradition? Not necessarily, and not right now especially, but why are kids going to choose that over Vandy if you're a football player? Well, because you walk in those facilities and it's like, whoa, I get to spend my next 4 or 5 years, 99% of my daily life in this building. That's pretty cool. I want to come here. So again, it's just, it doesn't take a lot, but it just takes keeping up with the standard that every other school is doing, or even just that the schools from 10 to 13 in the SEC and ranking from 1 to 14 in the most successful, what those schools are doing, and we just don't.
Just for the record, Dudley Phil's older than all of us, okay?
Yeah.
You can include me in that.
That's
Chase.
True. That's true.
Okay, it's not just the two of you, all right?
It had a renovation in, what, 82?
If you want to say renovations, but, you know, the field is actually older than all of us.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
But again, guys, I come back to the fact that I'm not pounding the table for us just to do things for football, because I was an athlete there, and every athlete lives in the same building. All the, you know, the soccer locker rooms, you know, every other sport is housed in that McGugan building. It's like, let's do something there, because, yeah, it'll benefit football, but it's going to benefit every other athlete as well. Our tutoring, our study halls, the weight rooms, the Olympic weight rooms for all the other sports, the football. Everything's there. So, you know, I'm not asking to pound the table and let's invest in football. Let's invest in everybody, because right now, outside of Corbin and baseball, there's not much to hang your hat on right now when it comes to athletics.
In fairness, you've told us that for years, so that is not a new message.
Yes.
So you have definitely said that for many, many years. Jordan, thanks for doing this on short notice. It kind of took us back as we started the show today, but thanks for doing this. Good to hear from you as always.
Same, guys. I'm going to go take a shower now.
Thanks, Jordan.
See you, fellas.
All right, that is Jordan Rogers, SEC Network, former Vanderbilt quarterback. Some pretty strong words, as always, when talking about Vanderbilt athletics and facilities and money. So we'll bring Max Herz back into the conversation. He just heard that interview with Jordan Rogers. We'll do that to close out the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.